Hi, Spring fans. Welcome to a beautiful podcast. I'm your host, Spring Developer Advocate Josh Long, and this show is all about the real heroes behind Spring and its ecosystem.
Hi, Spring fans. Welcome to another installment of a beautiful podcast, and Happy New Year. As I record this late Thursday on the 30th of December here in California, it's already well past 2 o'clock on the 31st of December in New Zealand. That means that they'll cross the New Year threshold not too long after I get to sleep tonight on the 30th of December, which is pretty amazing. With telecommunications being what they are and the ease of airline travel that we've previously enjoyed, the world can sometimes feel really, really small. But New Year's reminds me of just how vast and wonderful it is. The idea that there are people who are a few hours away from dinner time when I'm about an hour from mine, a day before them, is just, it's just weird. It's just weird. There are people living a whole other day ahead of me, you know? And yet one thing remains certain. We're all looking forward to the new year, aren't we? I'm having such a wonderful time this holiday season. I got to see my family in Los Angeles for the first time in a long time, which I really appreciated. And now that I'm home and before I left, I've just been working up a storm, working on Spring Native. I just love Spring Native. It's just, there's so many possibilities there. I just put up another blog on joshlong.com, this time detailing all of the trials and tribulations working with Spring Native. I've gotten a bunch of stuff working with Spring Native of late, and I love to share this while I have the chance and while I get remembered to do so. So, for example, I got Apache Lucene and my betas and the official Kubernetes Java client and Fabricate and Common Mark, which is the Atlassian Markdown client, and Spring GraphQL and so much more, all working in Spring Native just in the last few weeks. And soon I'm going to be looking at some of the other ecosystem projects that are interesting, like, for example, two different Swagger implementations, gRPC, the exposed Kotlin ORM, and more. It's just really interesting. And it's not hard. It just takes a few hours or maybe half an afternoon in most cases to get something working. And once it works, it's pretty easy going from there. A lot of times, if I get stuck, I get clone the code and just grep the use of dot class in the code somewhere. If you then exclude all the loggers that invariably get returned as a result of that query, you usually have a good sense of where you're going to need hints. The work goes quickly, and once it works for everyone. You can share that hint as a class and then distribute it in the usual way as a jar. It's the gift that keeps on giving. Spring is nice like that. It's self-contained, well-delineated, easy to work with, and it provides a nice, clean sort of glue code layer for the enterprise Java ecosystem. It's holistic, so you can get 90% of your application working for free in a GraalVM native image context just by using Spring Native, since Spring Native knows how to take Spring applications and Spring Boot applications in particular and make them work. That's like 90% of it, right? The last 10% is just the miscellaneous stuff, the stuff that GraalVM and Spring Native can't possibly know about, and that requires a bit of integration code. Anything that does reflection on its own, for example, or anything that creates proxies or does serialization or uses JNI or loads things from a class path as a resource, all that requires a little bit of extra configuration. And it usually needs to be dynamic, since it often depends on the types that the user creates. This is where Spring Native is so powerful. It provides a compiler step phase in which it builds up the bean graph, and then you can use that bean graph to piggyback on and to infer, you know, the shape of the types that the application will have at runtime, and you can use that to infer what types of hints are needed, right? So that the application will run when it run as a native image. And GraalVM has a nice mechanism that allows you to configure hints through JSON files that ships in the meta-inf native image directory of your various jars. But this stuff is by definition static, right? There's no programming logic there. And so there's also a very low level SPI that you can use to dynamically register hints, but nothing at quite the same granularity as your business logic. Spring Native bridges the gap, and there I think it's just it's a sweet spot. It's really, really amazing. I really enjoyed working on the Kubernetes and Spring Native integrations. If you look at github.com, Kubernetes-native-java, you'll see that I built integrations for the Fabricate client, that's the Red Hat Kubernetes client, and of course the official Kubernetes Java client. I even detailed my initial exploits making the official Kubernetes Java client work in my joshlong.com blog, and you can find the details there. I posted that, and that in turn inspired somebody else in the community from Red Hat, I think, to try and do something similar with a Fabricate Kubernetes client. That in turn inspired me to make Fabricate work with Spring Native. And so I did, and it is awesome. I even found a more real-world, fully fleshed out Fabricate-based operator and controller, like a custom resource definition and controller. And I made that work in a Spring Native context. And that's all thanks to this really dynamic, wonderful back and forth that's transpired over the last few weeks, in particular during the Christmas holiday, you know, the last few weeks of December here in 2021. I love this ecosystem. And, you know, one of the reasons I love the ecosystem is because of today's guest. We can't speak about ecosystems without mentioning one of the most amazing voices in the community, one of the people who inspires a lot of us to work and a lot of us, you know, have learned from, a gentleman named Geertjen Wailinga. He's a fellow Java champion and an amazing human being. You might know him from his recent book, Developer Advocate, in which I, by the way, am fortunate to have been featured, or from his decades of service on the NetBeans project, the now NetBeans project over at Apache. So I guess you'd call it the Apache NetBeans project, where he was one of the main contributors and leaders. He actually worked on NetBeans when it was part of Oracle before, and he helped make the transition, you know, to move the code base over to the Apache Foundation. And more recently, as part of his role at Azul, he has started a website called fooj.io, right? So fooj.io, which is meant to be sort of the new watering hole for Java developers in the same way that I think that java.net was intended to be a few decades ago. And I think it's off to a great start. I love the work that they're doing there. I figured I'd save this episode for right before the new year because I want to end on a very high note and get the year rolling on a similarly high note. And by the way, can you believe we're already at the end of the year? Can you believe it's already a brand new year? The next time we talk will be next year, right? It'll be 2022, which is just wild, absolutely fantastic. What are your hopes and dreams and ambitions for this year? I would love to know. Hit me up on Twitter at StarbucksMan or at Bootiful Podcast. Me, you know, I have the usual goes without saying stuff. You know, I want to be a better partner to my girlfriend and a better father figure to my daughter, both of whom I love very much. I also hope to produce many more blogs, even more Spring Tips videos, and to produce more amazing video interviews on this very podcast with amazing folks in the ecosystem. I think I want to update my Reactive Spring book in light of Spring Boot 3 and Spring Framework 6 and Spring Native and all that good stuff. And, you know, there's a lot there. I've just got a lot. I've got a new Spring Tips series on which I'm working. So, you know, just stay tuned. There's a lot of stuff coming. In short, it's going to be an even more amazing 2022. And I'm so looking forward to continuing to be a part of this amazing community with y'all. So happy new year from my family to yours. And without further ado, here is my friend, the one, the only, the amazing Geertjen. Enjoy. Like you're so far away, and it's literally night and day. Where, you know, the difference between where we are in the world right now, and it just feels very strange to see my old friend at such a distance when it used to be so easy to just to bump into you in random corners of the globe. But it's good to see you either way. Yeah, and I'm really happy to see you again.
Good to see you,
even if only virtually. So that I don't do a miscarriage of justice, would you tell the audience who you are and what you do and that kind of thing?
Hi. So yes, I'm Geertjen. I've been involved in the Java community since about 2004, when I joined Sun to work on NetBeans as a technical writer. And at the time, I knew nothing about Java, and I kind of learned on the job. And then, of course, there was the Oracle takeover, and then I've been involved at that point as well, continuing to work on NetBeans and ventured into the JavaScript world a little bit with a free open source technology that Oracle was making at the time, but was mainly involved in bringing NetBeans from Oracle into Apache, where it is now, doing really well, 4 releases per year, great community involvement, Oracle also still involved. And then after that, more recently joined Azul, where yeah. I've been working with Gerrit Grunwald and Carl Lee, and Pratik Patel joined, and Simon Ritter is, of course, here as well, and Gil Tenner. So a lot of great Java people in Azul working on projects that help the Java community, in particular Fijay, the website Friends of OpenJDK, a Java community platform.
Would you would you describe this as what is Fijay's role, just broadly? We'll get into it in details in a minute, but basically,
I'll read the blurb on the page. So Fijay, okay. So the word literally stands for Friends of OpenJDK, and it's a place for Friends of OpenJDK. So it says here, a central resource for the Java community's daily information needs, providing a community platform for the Java ecosystem, bringing together and helping Java professionals everywhere. So, I mean, what's happened over the past years is that, Java's doing really well. There's been great development. The release cycle is really pushing forward Java. At the same time, there have been a number of different OpenJDK vendors have kind of popped up over the years, Amazon, Red Hat, Azul, Bellsoft, etc. So even though there's been a lot of growth and development and so on, there's also a lot of confusion, firstly about, okay, there's a quarterly release, but what is actually in that release? So yes, hooray, there's a new release, but what's actually in there? What's good in it for me? And secondly, the question of, okay, so now there are multiple vendors, so I can download Java from multiple places, but what are those places? You know, where do I now go to get Java? It's not oracle.com necessarily. It could be redhat.com. It could be amazon.com. It could be azul.com. So it's really in nobody's interest of the vendors to really highlight this. Like if you go to the Red Hat site, you're not going to learn about Azul or about Bellsoft and about Amazon, et cetera, et cetera. So what we really need is a vendor neutral place where that information is found. And in a perfect world, this would have come out of the Java Champions, for example, kind of more or less a vendor neutral organization. But you really need dedicated resources to this. And this is not something that can be driven purely based on volunteers. So what Azul has done is, and this is why I've joined Azul, is set up this project, Fijay, set up the infrastructure, provided one or two people to work on this, a small team of outsourced people to work on the site itself, a WordPress site, highly customized with Markdown and ASCII doc support, et cetera, et cetera. Giving this a basis for others to join in. And so in the meantime, a board has been established. So very well-known Java tech organizations are involved: Datadog, DataStax, Gluon, Hazelcast, JFrog, Payara, Sneak, and more are joining. So we have a growing board of different organizations who believe in this project, and individuals, and of course a Slack channel and Twitter, daily articles. And whenever a new quarterly release comes out of Java, we have lists of those fixes on Fijay. And when a new release comes out as well, we list, where can you get Java from? And, a link to all those different places. And also something that Gerrit Grunwald has been working on is something called the Universal OpenJDK Discovery API. Imagine that you're in your IDE and you want to download Java. Which Java do you download? And, sometimes an IDE provides support for downloading Java. And so what Gerrit has created is an API that is a meta layer on top of a number of other APIs. So Zulu has its API, Red Hat has an API, et cetera, all these different, Bellsoft has an API. So he's created this API that bundles all those different APIs together, which can then be integrated. So it's been integrated into SDKman, into JReleaser, into JBang, into NetBeans, plugins for Eclipse, for IntelliJ, for VS Code, etc. So in those different tools and so on, you can download whichever JDK you want from whichever vendor you want, because this API is available. And you can use it for your own tools as well. So anyone who's bundling Java or providing access to Java now has a unique way of doing that. So Fijay is about providing these kinds of generic services that are vendor neutral, that are relevant for the Java community.
Wow. So it's not just a blog. It's actually a whole effort, really. It's wow. That meta API by itself is really? Amazing. And there's plugins. So what does it look like? Does a plugin mean that there's a like a uniform experience for somebody who wants to choose out and then get installed a JDK yes. on their local machine? Inside of NetBeans or something?
Yes, exactly. And there's also, if you go to fuji.io/download, you will see one implementation of this. So fuji.io download, you go on that page and you see on the left-hand side a list of the different OpenJDK vendors or the different distributions, a bunch of options below that of which JDK you want. And then what is displayed depending on what you've selected. So if I select Zulu, for example, I can see the different Zulu distributions that are available for Java 17, or I can say, I want to see all of them, and then I can get a very long list of all of them, and then I can download directly from fuji.io. So Fuji has its own download page providing access to all the different OpenJDK vendors bundles. And the same, so this is on Fuji, but there's also a plugin for Chrome itself and for Firefox. So extensions for the different browsers, extensions for the different IDEs, extensions for whatever you like. So if there are places where this is useful, we are happy to create these plugins or extensions, or you can create them yourself, and it's simply an API. There's a Swagger, etc., providing you all the documentation for the for getting hold of this. So if Spring is somehow bundling Java or needs access to Java in some command line tool or wherever, this API is available for you to use for that.
That is really, really powerful. I'm clicking around, and first of all, I didn't even know some of these existed. So that's interesting.
I didn't know
JetBrains had a distribution.
Yeah, that's interesting, isn't it? Like JetBrains has a distribution that is bundled with JetBrains, so they have control over their own JDK, which can be really useful. So they can really tailor it to the needs of their tools.
Right, and it makes sense, right? You would expect that at some point they'd exert control over that particular one, right? Obviously, but I just had no idea it was like a thing that they actually you could do or use separately. So that's cool. And then the second thing is, I haven't done this yet, because I'm hoping you'll assuage my concern. But please promise me that if I were to go to Fuji download right now and I clicked on Java 8, that an ASCII art middle finger will appear and it won't actually let me download something so decrepit and creaking old.
No such warning is going to pop up, unfortunately. But it's you can see if you go to the major versions, it goes all the way back to 7 even. So
I know, I don't know why. I hope it's a joke. That's what I'm saying. I hope you're just like trolling people.
As we know, there are these people who are on those releases, and we need to be support those use cases as well. But it would be nice to have a message like, you want to download Java 7? Really?
Are you sure?
Are you sure? And then, yes. And then, really?
You sure? Like, maybe you should go home, hug your family, pet your dog or cat, come back and think about your terrible life choices. And then, and only then, want to, we'll let you. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I don't think, I'm not okay with people downloading Java 7 on purpose today. I know there's a reason. There must be a reason, but it just doesn't. It's bad for all of us if we're stuck.
Right. It should not be downloadable anymore. It should just be, if you're using Java 8 or whatever, you must have downloaded it already, right? So we're not going to provide you the facility anymore for downloading it. That will be one way to force people to use later releases.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, in the new stuff, my goodness, the new, I mean, even obviously, I'm just talking about like OpenJDK, and obviously Azul has its own improvements above and beyond that, but just the core like JDK these days is OpenJDK is super fast. My goodness, I cannot believe what has been done without breaking my code, by the way. Like, that's the other thing, is I didn't have to rewrite a thing, and I just get this incredible performance gain coming from Java 11 LTE. You can see huge improvements, and coming from Java 8, even more so, right? It's just amazing. You and I exist in a magical like wonderland where we get free software that is worth billions of dollars, that makes our code faster, more robust, and more operations friendly, and we do nothing to do it. You know, it's like Moore's law is somehow still in effect, even though it's not somehow, because we're running on top of Java, we still get to benefit from like free performance gains for no reason. You know.
Yeah, multi-core, and you know, really leveraging the hardware. You know, as hardware improves, Java improves. So that's really great.
Yeah. I mean, I'm particularly smitten with the M1. You know, the architecture, the ARM M1 chip for Apple laptops, and that port that came out like within a month or a few months of the announcement of that laptop. There was already an OpenJDK port that is now in the JDK itself. You know, it's just there. And it's just super fast. I mean, it's like, for my trivial little demos, it's almost twice as fast. It is crazy fast, you know, compared to my creakingly old, long since irrelevant, deprecated, slow 2019 Intel i9, you know?
Right. And actually related to that, Azul's mission control, so ZMC, now runs on M1. It's just been
released. That's even cooler.
Yeah. So mission control on M1 provided by Azul, available since the last few days.
Are you kidding? Oh, wow. So as you and I are recording this in early December 2021. So that's amazing. Is that public? That's probably public, right?
It's public. Yeah. It's just been tweeted about in the last couple of days. It's on azul.com. Yeah.
I've been taking a nap, apparently. I'm so sorry. I'll go download it. I suspect it's already in SDKMan. Is that true?
Yes, SDKMan. It is. Yes. If you use SDKMan. So what I really love about SDKMan, I can really
experiment.
Talk at length about SDKMan's amazing support, because they have this wonderful API. And so from Azul, we use our API to publish just over the past week the latest ZMC to SDKMan via the API. But they also have a broadcast API. So once you've published whatever it is to SDKMan, you can use a broadcast API to, in the end, tweet via SDKMan's Twitter handle to announce your release, which is pretty cool.
That is so cool. It shows what happens when you get good engineers to write software to help other engineers. You know, it's brilliant.
SDKMan is basically one guy. I mean, there's a couple of people around him, but it's Marco Vermeulen, doing SDKMan. It's really incredible.
Truly, and it's so far it's free. I don't know why it is free, but it is. It just works, and it's not easy, you know. I think the key, actually, I think building it, because I remember in the early days of SDKMan, Marcus very reasonably and completely understandably was grousing about how he didn't appreciate having to manually update the releases for JDKs coming out of Oracle, for example, right? Like they, and so it was always something that he had to do. And I wonder if that's been changed, but it's nice to see that all these other vendors at least are automating it so that it just plugs in directly and it's no maintenance at all, you know. Really a beautiful system, really beautiful. So yeah. I love it. I love that, and I love Fuji. I'm going to point people to Fuji, because it's one thing to say, oh yeah, you got to download and install SDKMan, but if I can just say to somebody, go to fuji.io/download, and now you get instant discoverability. You know, you surface all the possible permutations of what's out there. No, that's great.
That's right. And also, if you look at the at the lower part, upper part of the page on the left-hand side shows you the different distributions. But the lower part, you can either you can say select all at the top, or you can say OS based. So your OS is detected, and then the options that are made available there are the latest release, plus the package type, archive type architecture for your operating system. So you kind of get guided support into making the right selections there.
Oh, there it is, Arch 64. So let me try this. If I just hit go, I'll select all distributions. Is there like a go button, or just it just automatically filters in?
It just automatically does it. That's the filtering.
Okay.
And then select a particular distribution or one or more distributions.
I selected all. Okay. And I've, okay, let me just, I think I put it in a weird state. Mea culpa. Okay, I'm going to run this again. Oh, page unresponsive. Okay, hold on. There's too many GDKs. That's the issue here. We overwhelmed my browser. Okay, so select all. Great, there's all of them. Now I can filter down to architecture. I don't want x64. I want Arch 64, I think. Oh, wow, that's amazing. Look at that. Is that right? No, that's not. It didn't filter, did it? Is that the wrong way to think of it? Does it want me to say ARM? Maybe it's asking for ARM. Mm-hmm. I think maybe it's just too many permutations. Clear selection for the distributions and choose. I want Zulu Prime, and Oracle OpenJDK. And then I want any version of Java, all update levels, macOS architecture. I want that to be Arch and nothing.
It might take a while to display all of that.
Very likely. It probably is just my internet. You know, these are things that you can't control. Because I was just using it a minute ago when we were talking about it. I was actually clicking around and it was working great. And now I'm trying to reproduce it. And of course, it's, you know, it hates me. It's okay. I'm sure it'll be ephemeral. But the point is, this is great. Like, I'm going to point people to this because this is like...
And if you encounter any problems with it or whatever, just say so on the Fujia Slack. Garrett is there too.
Which I'm now a member of, which is a...
Yeah. Anyone is welcome to join the Fujia Slack. It's really a generic discussion place for anything Java related. And we also discuss Fujia's content there. So every day of the week, we publish one or two articles and we do the scheduling on the Slack. But what is also really big and coming up is FussDem. So last year at FussDem, it was also completely online, and we had a Fujia dev room. So we had a wonderful program over 2 days with Johan Voss and Steve Chin and Simon Ritter and Heinz Kabutz, many other people on Saturday and Sunday. And we're doing it again in the coming FussDem, so 5 and 6 February. And the CFP will go out soon. And it's wonderful with FussDem. They have this whole infrastructure. All you need to provide is your content. So it's really ideal for us to fit in there. We're setting up a program committee. So it's going to be all Fujia at FussDem. And we'll be the ones providing all the Java content there. So really looking forward to it.
That is so cool. And by the way, as you and I are sitting here talking on my constrained Wi-Fi, I just clicked around and I chose architecture Arch 64. And then like 20 seconds later, the page refreshed and there were just the Arch 64 ones that I wanted. So awesome. It works very nicely despite my demands of it.
That's awesome.
Cool. FussDem is a great, that's a Belgian show, right? That's a wonderful show.
It's like at least in Europe, it's the premier free open source event. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's not just Java. I mean, it's heaps of things plus Java. But we had a really good time last year with the Fujia dev room there. And we're just going to repeat that and make it bigger and better.
I can't wait. I cannot wait. I'll see you there. So that's good. So you can actually congregate with the people that are, you can congregate with those people before you even get there virtually. Because, you know, Fujia Slack, right? That'll be awesome.
That's right. That's absolutely right. Yep.
Have the conference any day you want. That's great. So Fujia, you're working on Fujia. That's what you're trying to tell me. Right. And I, it's amazing. This is really cool. I can't wait to sort of use more of this. The APIs themselves. So I can query the API that you have for querying SDKs.
Right.
Like there's a Meta API. Is that accessible to the public or do I need
that? That's right. That's right. There's a Swagger that I can point you to as well. Wow. If you search for Swagger and Disco, you probably should find it. But yeah, it's, probably not. OpenJDK Discovery API.
Puget and Display API.
Just use it.
Look at that. That's pretty neat. That is so cool.
Zulu Open JDK Discovery API. It's on Swagger. Wait, here, got it. Oh, wait, it's version 2 right now. So let's see. Oh, no, it's not. Wait. 1.0 should be fine. Okay, so here I've put it into your little chat there. But yeah, anyone can use this. It's being used in a bunch of different places. And it's you might see it in a few other interesting places in the coming months. You know, the more places where something is used, the more stable it becomes, and the more of a de facto standard it turns out to be. So that's something that I think this might end up being, because there is really nothing comparable to it. And it's supported, you know, 24 hours a day, basically, and it's being worked on continually. It's really what Gerrit Grunewald spends most of his day doing. So it's really good.
Wow. That's, the idea that you can harness people like yourself and Gerrit and have them build this amazing stuff for the rest of us. Oh, that's charity. I appreciate that. That is,
I mean, you know, I think
it's come early.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and the thinking behind this is, so when we started, so I joined Azure in April last year, and we asked ourselves, okay, so if we were to make something like Fujay, what should we start with? So we decided not to start with a blog, for example, because there are plenty of blogs. So it's all about finding the things that are not already there. So if you're on Fujay, you see that along the top, there's the OpenJDK hub, and there you can see the different releases, information on the different fixes and so on. So that isn't anywhere. Like, you know, as I was saying, whenever there's a new quarterly release of the OpenJDK, everyone says, great, there's a new quarterly release. But aside from if there are major features or something, you know, who knows what is there beyond those five or six main things. So, you know, where are those listed? So that's wasn't listed anywhere. So we thought with Fujay, let's start with that. So that's that was our starting point, because that's actually missing. And you know, organized in components and so on, so you can very easily see you know, what is there. And then the next thing we asked ourselves was, okay, so now we have this, but what about showing which different vendors are available? And there is, of course, the amazing site by Mark Hoffman, javaalmanac.io, right? So this javaalmanac.io, which has great content, that has all of these different, shows, you know, per JDK, the different APIs and the changes and where you can download them and what the features are. And so we talked with Mark Hoffman, and we integrated with him his content into Fujay. And similarly to that, there is the amazing Chris Newland, who has a wonderful website called chriswhocodes.com. And on chriswhocodes.com, you find all the JVM command line arguments. So, you know, and that's another example of content that is there on chriswhocodes.com. But that's really hidden. Like, if you don't know about Chris, you will never know about that content. So we are hosting Chris Newland's content on Fujay. So on Fujay, there is a section called Command Line Arguments, which is his content from Chris Who Code. So what Fujay is among other things, an aggregator of existing content. You know, we don't want to reinvent the wheel and create things from scratch that are already there. And we want to give a platform to people who have created things already. So if there is content out there that you keep on needing to find and that you're Googling for, you might ask yourself, well, why shouldn't we have that on Fujay and have that as a central resource?
This is huge because there's so much going on in our ecosystem.
Right. And so the cherry on top of all of this is search. So once you are on Fujay, at the top, you can see a search box and also further down. And so now if I do a search there, so let's say I search for JavaFX, for example, do a search for JavaFX. Now the search goes through all that content. It goes through the command line arguments, it goes through the fixes, it goes through the blog posts. And what is also on Fuji is something called terminology. So if you go to fuji.io/pedia, you get to not blog posts, but you get to definitions. So for example, what is the TCK and why is it important? The technology compatibility kit. What is a thread dump? You know, we could have a blog post on the thread dump, but then it would be hidden. But so on this definitions page, on this terminology page, we have all of these common terms. You know, what is latency? You know, what are compact profiles? What is CPU? What is PSU? You know, what to think about in relation to security and vulnerability management, like these common terms in one place. So when you do a search on Fuji, it searches through all of those different terms and blog posts, and also the CVE view. For each quarterly update, there's also security fixes, which are also listed on Fuji. So in the end, what you end up with is, so this is why the content is important. The more content there is, the more real it is that Fuji becomes the Wikipedia for Java developers. So a one-stop shop for curated content. So, I mean, I could go to google.com, right? I could search for my term, but that could return anything. And who knows what quality that content is that is returned. But what we have on Fuji is actually curated content. So if someone does a search here and finds something that is maybe incorrect or out of date or whatever, we can, you know, fix it. You know, we have full control over everything because all the content is in the Fuji database.
And it's being driven by people who are Java champions and people in the community that we know to be of a certain caliber.
Yeah, exactly. And you care about and you care about it. Yeah. And so speaking of that, so that brings us to another point. Especially in these times of Corona, how do you build up your network? Like typically you would go to a conference and you would hang out and, you know, meet people, et cetera, hallway track, et cetera, et cetera. But now you don't actually go to conferences. So let's give new people to the community a platform. So if you go to fuji.io/today, which is the blog, fuji.io/author. So these are all the authors. So there's over 100 authors at this point on Fuji. Now, many of these people you will know when you know, this Ray Tsang is here, and Matt Rabel, et cetera, but there are also many people that you don't know. So what would be great is to introduce new people in the Java ecosystem to the ecosystem. So one thing we're doing with FastDem, for example, is we're working with universities so that in the FastDem dev room, we have students as well. So students presenting, you know, it's like, let's have Saturday for all the well-known people, et cetera, and let's have Sunday for student presentations. And let's get lots of students introduced into the community at FastDem, but also on Fuji, let's get, you know, let's not only have expert content, but, you know, what I really like in, as an example of this, which I found really inspiring. So there's somebody called Helen Scott, who works as a developer advocate at JetBrains. And she's at the moment, the community manager for all IntelliJ content on Fuji. And in the beginning, she wrote something that I found awesome. It is an article called "New to IntelliJ Idea, Me Too."
Yeah.
Okay. I'll stick this into your little chat here. But "New to IntelliJ Idea, Me Too." Now, what does a Hello World tutorial always look like for any technology? Right. It's always like 5 steps. And it's perfect, right? It's the happy track, and people get stuck on step 2, and then they never go back to the technology. Now imagine if we were to have new to MongoDB, me too, new to Spring Boot, me too, and not written by the expert, but written by the beginner. And this would never be published on the Spring Boot site, on the JetBrains site, whatever, because you don't really want to promote how hard it can be. But let Fuji be the place where the unhappy track is shown. And, you know, this is Hello World tutorial for IntelliJ is not what you would expect. It goes on and, you know, then I did this. which wasn't in the tutorial, and this happened, and I learned this and this, and then I did that, and it crashed, and whatever, we need the rough guide, really, to all the different technologies. And so that's one really interesting opportunity that we have with Fuji. Let's put all those rough guides together in one place. And similarly, let's put the release notes there, let's put the quick starts there, because this is the other thing, if you're on the MongoDB site, then you've already made some kind of choice to use MongoDB. But if you're on Fuji, you've made no choice. And you're on the release notes page where you read about, whatever, you're reading the JetBrains release notes, and then you see the MongoDB release notes right next to it, because there's a release notes category on Fuji. And so nowhere else do you find a release notes page that lists all the Java technologies with all their release notes. So this kind of mixing can be of benefit to all these different organizations, technologies, communities, and developers.
Absolutely. Plus, I like the idea that you're making it so that people can talk to each other and ask each other questions. It's not just a didactic one-way sort of flow of information. But actually, insofar as something like Slack is an okay way for people to interact, is there one of the things I miss about Java.net was a forum.
Yes.
Which is infinitely more searchable.
Yes. Coming soon to a place near you on Fuji, because so not only that, what you want to do in the new year is a forum, but also a newsletter, weekly newsletter with the highlights and so on. So it's all in progress, but a forum, definitely. The thing with the forum, though, is in the beginning, it will be completely empty, right? So that's going to be the challenge. And also, there are plenty of Java forums already. So one thing we could ask is, well, why don't we integrate Stack Overflow's Java channel into Fuji? Repurpose, use Stack Overflow's API to plug its Java section into Fuji. Or Reddit, plug Reddit's Java section into Fuji. So, those are approaches to take as well. It's also about, getting as much content as quickly as possible, rather than having an empty forum and spending the next 10 years filling it with content before it becomes meaningful, when we already have so many places for Java content. Yeah.
So, that's what we did for the Java side. The Spring side, we had this springsource.net forum years ago, and that was there for like 10, 15 years. It was a very, very busy forum, but we weren't in the business of competing with Stack Overflow. And at some point, the obvious momentum became so insurmountable that it just made infinite sense to just delegate to that. So when people want to ask questions, even if those questions are intended for us, we say, go, use one of those tags of Stack Overflow, and our engineers will be along shortly, because we monitor that daily. So consolidating, converging on that would be wonderful.
And actually, this is really maybe a way to kind of wrap up the discussion as well, because Java is really a very mature technology, and it's been around forever. It's become slightly, you could say, either specialized or fragmented a bit over time. And what we need to do is to consolidate. It's not about creating new things, but it's about consolidating and bringing together what there is, and joining the dots between these technologies and these communities, and so on, and not recreating things, but joining things and connecting things. So, I think this is what I like about the Fuji concept. It's all about doing exactly that. It's being a hub for content. The same thing with the Discovery API, with all these different OpenJDK distributions. So anything that is fragmented, let's try and bring it together and use Fuji as a central place to do that.
This is the dream, right? It is to be able to take advantage of that wealth of a community. Yeah. And you just mentioned fragmented. Isn't that funny? Here we are, my friend. You and I have known each other for the better part of a decade, and here's our community. We've been, it's been around for 25 odd plus years, and here the fact that we have more activity now than we did 25 years ago, that there are so many different versions of the JDK in the open source world, that we actually have to have APIs to manage it. Think about what we just said. There are actually people who are super qualified engineers who have to build APIs to keep up with the robust pace of innovation in our community, because there are so many different APIs and so many different JDKs, and right. each of them having, you know, benefits of their own. And what a wonderful place to be in. So, and now we have these, now our big problem, the thing you were working on, the thing I think from listening, the thing that from listening to I've gathered, you're trying to do that what it, and what it does is pulls together all these great resources, right? It centralizes this ocean of knowledge that we've built up over the last decades or, you know, a few decades. That's a crazy cool problem to have, you know. Yep. Well done. Yep. I'm really looking forward to it.
Awesome.
Wow. I'll be on that Slack. I'll start there.
Cool. Bring the whole Spring community with you and bring all your network with you. You know, it's all about bringing people together.
I love it. Love it. I want to thank you for all of this. I thank you for everything you're doing. Obviously I'm a big fan. You and I used to talk about NetBeans and
right.
And then we talked about developer advocacy. Nowadays, it seems like the energy for you, obviously, everything you've done has just always been about making the community more productive. And mm-hmm. you know, this very well may be the single biggest thing. You know, I can't think of what a Java champion could do more to help the community than this. You know,
cool.
What you're doing.
So great to hear that. Yeah. And I think the special thing to think about is about new people, bringing new people into the community and giving them a safe place to learn and to share and so on, and to not have this thing of, well, I don't know enough, I'm not a Java champion, you know, I'm not an expert in Java, what do I know? I think Fuji is a place where people can share their beginning steps, and this whole idea of sharing your learning curve. I mean, you know, there is a lot of value to having perfect tutorials, but there's also great value in having people saying, I don't know anything about this technology. I'm going to spend the next, you know, 3 weeks or 3 months or whatever learning it. And, you know, every day or every week, I'm going to post what I've learned and what I've struggled with. And I'm not going to wait until I've understood it. I'm going to just document everything I'm doing as I'm doing it, and things blowing up and going wrong and me being confused, because those are the things that are of value to the next person learning that technology.
I love it. You're right. Those first steps are so valuable. They helped me a million times. And especially now, I mean, I'm sure you and I, when I was young, my first steps were always invariably in terms of looking somebody over somebody else's shoulder, right? And I could do that because we're in proximity to each other, and I could look at somebody else's work. But now, you know, in the last 20 years, it's sort of easy to work on the internet, and now to be able to, in the era of the pandemic, where it's so hard to be able to look at somebody over somebody else's shoulders. That's
exactly.
Thanks for this. You're a good person there, Gitian. I appreciate everything you're doing. I want to thank you for your time.
Too,
where can people find you on the internet if you want to be found?
Fuji.io or the Slack channel.
Okay.
That's it.
Twitter. I'll just say, should I link to your
Twitter? Yeah, Twitter. Yeah, Twitter. Geertjan with a W. GEERTJANW.
Thanks, my friend.
Thank you so much.
A Bootiful podcast is produced by me, Josh Long. I do these podcasts because I believe that everything we do in software is for and made better by people. I want to hear from you. I'm josh@joshlong.com by email or at starbuxman on Twitter, where, of course, my direct messages are wide open. Do you have guest ideas, topic suggestions, feedback? Don't hesitate to reach out. If you like the show, then please consider rating it on iTunes and leaving a review, as that really helps the show. I sampled music from Steve Combs's Them from Morning in Springtime and Steve Combs's Small Victory, both of which are licensed under a Creative Commons license. I'm trying to hire production assistants to make the production of this podcast easier. I want to make sure that we can add things like show notes and transcripts and just generally do more. If you would like to advertise on the show, then please reach out to me. And if you can't or don't want to advertise but would like to otherwise support the show, then please consider supporting me at patreon.com, patreon.com/Josh Long for as low as $4 a month. Thanks again. No harm came to any seasons in the making of this podcast.